T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Have forced a game 7 that will be coming up on Wednesday night in Boston.
Dad would say, pop that clutch, Dale. Let's go.
Dale Arnold.
Yes, damn it. We are going to talk about the Bruins.
Rich Key.
It's going to be like a train coming at you.
I'm riding this train till the wheels fall off.
The building's going to be incredible.
Don't count on the crowd. Don't count on the refs. Don't make excuses. Just do it.
Dale and Keith.
Oh, I just touched the microphone in my mouth.
Been Let's worse. Think about who's been sitting over there.
Oh, you just kissed Mutt.
Oh. Mutt right there.
I'm going to throw up. That is awful.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 2, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. It is the day of Game 7. Not only is it Game 7, but it's Game 7 in Boston. And the last time you got to have one of those was 1984. Celtics-Lakers played a Game 7 in Boston. Last time the Bruins played a Game 7 for a championship at home is never. So what a night it's going to be here in Boston. I understand the mayor has already had a press conference urging you guys to, you know, just be chill a little bit out there.
Take it easy with the day drinking.
Don't do
saying?
Something stupid.
Can't tell me what to do.
He's not the boss.
Not
of
my
you.
Boss.
No.
Nope.
You wouldn't listen. Well, unless it's you know, Mrs.
True.
Keefe. There she's the one
things.
Who can.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll listen to her, what she has to say. But it's Game 7. I think you throw all the rules out today.
There are no
game
rules.
Seven.
I mean,
yeah.
Rossi's able to walk around here without pants.
Well, thanks to his nightgown that he decided to dust off for today. But he's looking good. He's got the spirit of it. Now, you're going to wear that thing all day, by the way? Again, if you're just joining us, it's a Patrice Bergeron jersey that wouldn't fit Chara. You wearing this all day and all night?
I'm not taking it off today.
Good.
Well, I may take it off just for, you know, bathroom purposes. I don't think I can actually, you know, fit on the toilet with this.
You're like
on.
George Costanza, you get completely naked when you go to the bathroom?
Oh, depends on what kind
really?
Of business.
Well, I'm painting a picture here.
Yeah. One that makes me throw up in my mouth a little bit.
Art's not safe. But anyway,
true?
That's good. I think so. Yeah. I think so. But that's good. That's good to know, Rossi. But you got the Bergeron going. People are excited, and it sounds like Grizzly could return.
He's going to play unless something bad happens this morning.
Right.
You would assume there are 4 forwards, 4 defensemen, and Yaroslav Halak on the ice for the optional skate for the Bruins.
Right.
I'm a little nervous about that only because Tuukka's been taking these optional day of game skates pretty regularly through the playoffs, but he's not today.
So you're nervous about this now?
Well,
are you trying to get us all nervous about this?
Don't change anything.
All right, so it's a little bit different, but maybe he's so locked in right now, maybe he doesn't need this.
He is so chill.
He is. This whole time, too. And really, he's played, I thought the first 4 games he was kind of like very mortal. It was fine, and you know they're back and forth with Toronto. But then since then, and Game 7... The Game 7 against Toronto was the best Game 7 he has ever played. He was so locked in that game. They were great. And then since then, he's been the best player in the playoffs. And I don't think it'll be any consolation to him. But if they lose, I think he's still going to win the Conn Smythe. I don't think you even want to accept it. You wouldn't want it. But that's how good he has been for whatever it is, 25 games or however many they've played so far this postseason.
I have read an argument against a player from the losing team winning the Conn Smythe. I understand the argument against it. The fact of the matter is, it has happened 5 times in the past in NHL history. Has a player who is on the losing team won the Conn Smythe Trophy? So, I mean, it has happened in the past.
No, it's happened, and I think in recently too, when it's happened, it's been a goaltender. And so, for a guy that's been this good, especially if they lose tonight and it's 1-0, 2-1. You know, something like that, then I think he's got a great chance at it. But again, he doesn't care. That's not what
this is about. No. Tuukka Rask leads the National Hockey League in the playoffs.
Yeah.
In goals against average, 1.93. Save percentage, .938. He's tied for wins. If he lost tonight, Jordan Binnington would have the most wins with 16. Tuukka has 15 at the moment. But he has been the best player in the National Hockey League. The thing to keep reminding people is that the Conn Smythe does not go to the MVP of the final. It goes
the
to
whole
the MVP
yeah,
of the entire 2.5-month playoff run, 2-month playoff run. he's been the best player in the NHL over that span of time.
Also, something that plays into their favor, I think, Dale, is the last time in the playoffs the Bruins lost two games in a row was the Columbus series. They then went on to win eight in a row. Now, they don't need to win eight in a row. They only need to win the one. But that was the last time they lost two. They were trailing in that series. And then they bounced back. Game four, Columbus. They won 4-1. So even though, you know, they lose game four, they lose game five, and they did that at home. But for them to bounce back the way that they did, they get the 5-1 win there. And tonight, again, I feel good but not great about it, just because how can you? How can you have the most confidence after you've already seen this team lose three times to St. Louis?
And I expect that the St. Louis Blues will run everything in sight.
Yeah.
They literally feel like they have nothing to lose. Now, they do if the officials, and you've got Chris Rooney and Gord Dwyer as your referees, if they call 5-minute majors that are there, which they did not do in the game in which Sundquist drilled Matt Grizzlick.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a 5-minute.
But if they did that, then the Blues would say, okay, this was a bad plan.
Well, that's the thing, is you hope, you know, so they're not just taking these headshots all game long. If they do call a couple of penalties in the first period, because again, the refs don't want to be the story. They don't want to give a team a power play, especially a team that's as effective on the power play as the Bruins are. If they give them one in the third period and that's the difference in the game,
yep,
that's tough. They don't want to do that. But if you call things early, then that should give the Blues time to react and realize, all right, we're going to have to play this differently. We're going to have to play this 5-on-5, which they have a much better chance winning the game playing 5-on-5 than as soon as you get into any kind of power play situations.
All right, let's get back to the calls at 617-779-7937. Andrew Raycroft will join us in studio from noon to 1 today to give his take and break this whole thing down and talk about goaltenders in a zone, because
Tuukka's,
you know, we've seen this a couple of times. We saw Tim Thomas in 2011 was in a zone, especially the last couple of series. Tuukka in 2013 was in a zone until he wasn't, and he's in a zone now. Fred's in New Hampshire. Hey, Fred.
Dale, Keith, morning.
What's
morning.
Up?
Hey, Keith.
Yeah.
Keith, you don't think Grizzlick, in all his hockey career, everybody's been taking a run at him. He knows what it's like to be taken a run at.
That's but he's not fresh off a concussion every time.
Now, who knows? Who knows if he had a concussion? You don't know if he had a concussion.
Oh, anyway, so he's played his whole career with a concussion? Oh, okay, good point. I didn't realize that.
They've always probably been taking runs at this kid, and he knows how to handle it. You know, a Bruin doesn't play a scared, or they don't play long for the Bruins, okay? Now, my question to you guys, why are you guys working? It's a holiday. What's the matter
Somebody
with
has to. Not all heroes wear capes, Fred.
Is tomorrow a holiday, too, or just today? Because I feel like tomorrow is the day I'd rather be off.
Even a better holiday. Yeah. You know what happened to me this morning?
What's that?
I woke up at 4:44 a.m. I don't know why.
Oh, but that means something. That's an omen.
Bobby Orr.
That's an omen, yeah.
You know, they started out in China. They're going to finish in Boston.
Right.
What a long, strange trip this has been, huh?
It's been unbelievable. I mean, I can't wait to
sound
see how
today.
It happened. That, by the way, is not his fault.
What do you mean?
I heard it happen during OMF
what
yesterday. That phone chipmunky thing.
I love it. I think it keeps you on your toes. You never know.
Now, Glenn was going off on it yesterday. He said, it's line three. I'm never going to take line three again.
It's like a Snapchat
filter. That was line two.
I love it. Just every once in a while, you get a high-pitched guy that jumps aboard. Who cares? Just move on. Good hockey takes in there. You're in, you're out.
And with all due respect, Fred didn't sound all that different.
No, he really didn't.
No, he sounded different. I mean,
a little bit.
Smart Alex.
I heard just the cracking of the phone. That was what I heard that was different. Voice very similar.
Yeah.
Hopefully this guy sounds like that, too.
Joe's in West Springfield. Hey, Joe.
How you guys doing? I just got a quick opinion and a question. As far as the Iron captain, I think Brady would be a great one. But I was also thinking, I like Todd, but how about bringing in Rene Rancourt for the national anthem?
No, thank you.
Please. Awful.
No. I mean, you've got a guy who not only has done a great job at it, but you're in the seventh game of the Stanley Cup final. Why would you change?
Yeah, come on.
I agree. I was just starting to bring in an all-time guy. But my question, do you think the last game was the wake-up call for the first line? They finally got a 5-on-5 goal. Do you think they're finally going to be able to get things going and get, I think, to the magic number of 3 goals to get the win?
My guess here is that the top line is going to play very effectively tonight. I think they will. Supposedly, and nobody will talk about what he said, but everybody has talked about Patrice Bergeron spoke to the team before game six, and guys talked about wanting to run through a wall for him. I don't know what he said. They're being very close-mouthed about it. I think that this group is very tight, very close-knit. They talk about how they love each other. And I do think that they look at Zdeno Chara, who's now going to play his third game with a fractured jaw and that big football helmet thing on, and they're saying, mm-hmm. We can't let him go out like that.
No,
we can't let him lose the Stanley Cup. When you look at what he's giving up, what he's doing to play out there.
Well, you also think about it. This, like, the core guys that were still there that wanted it in 11, they lost in 13. But between 13 and now, they missed the playoffs. Like, so it wasn't like they were always knocking on the door. So they are so well aware of how difficult it is to get to this point and how season to season, how crazy things can go. I mean, even in 2010, they blow that 3-0 lead. And then the next year, they win the whole thing. So there's been ups and downs all over the place for these core four or five guys that are on the team. So they definitely know what it's about, and they're not taking this for granted at all.
617-779-7937. Mark's in Medford. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Dale. How's it going?
What's going on?
So my normal day, my alarm goes off at 4:30.
Okay.
I usually hit the snooze button one or two times.
Sure.
And then I finally get up.
Right.
This morning, my alarm went off at 4:30.
Okay.
I popped right out of freaking bed. The adrenaline was already going. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm already biting my fingernails.
Uh-huh.
I cannot wait for this puck to drop tonight. And I will be having my first alcoholic beverage in approximately an hour and 15 minutes.
Oh, I am jealous. I am so jealous, Mark.
You are too.
In an hour and a half,
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. And yesterday I told my boss that I'm not going to be coming in until about 9 o'clock on Thursday. Win or lose.
Can you drink at work,
no.
Mark? Are you allowed to do that at your job?
No. Oh. I drive for a living, so I can't do that.
Oh, God, no.
Good please
Lord,
don't. No.
No, that's why I told him I'm not going to be until about 9 a.m.
No, that makes sense.
And I'm on the road at 5:30, but not tomorrow.
Well, we only got about 9 hours until game time, so really, what do you do? How do you fill the time? Obviously, you got 3 more hours at Dale and Keefe, and then from there, I don't know what you do. You got a Red Sox game. It's going to be hard to pay attention to the Red Sox game.
You drink. That's what you do.
I know. But you got to do something while you're drinking.
Day baseball. Come on. Day baseball, nothing better.
Yeah, the day baseball.
Start at Fenway in the sunshine and then make your way over to the garden.
I don't do well in the sun. I got to get out of the sun. That's not
that Irish skin of yours.
Terrible. It just goes from white to red.
So at point.
Yeah, that's it.
So at 2 o'clock today.
Yeah.
Do we hear Christian take his victory lap because Matt Grizzlick's been cleared to play?
I think he should probably lay low on this.
I think he should.
Yeah, I think it's not really for him right now to be weighing in on any of these game time decisions and things like
Dunsky.
That. Yeah. Char was Dunsky. Grizzlick was a play game five. That's okay. You can't have everything. You can't get them all right.
Well, he tried. Yeah. Ben's in Scituate. Hey, Ben.
Hi. I just want to say, should the Bruins play Chris Wagner in game seven if he's available?
No.
No, I don't
think
so.
He is available, but I wouldn't.
I think the other guys have been too good. Who would you take out?
I like Corrali and Nordstrom in there, but...
Well, Nordstrom's not on the fourth line. Yeah, Nordstrom, I'm not going to touch him. So you're going to take Achari out?
Yeah, Achari, I like what he's doing.
I like Achari in there.
And so then
Corrali?
I like Achari in there, but I don't think Nordstrom's been a big impact, really.
Oh, he's been a huge impact.
Yeah, I disagree. I think he's been awesome. He's been a big penalty killer for him. He had that stretch where he's blocking all the shots. And he's also created some offensive chances. I know he hasn't, had a crazy scoring output in the playoffs, but he's been that whole line's been good. Wagner's good too,
and I love Wagner. Had
Wagner not gotten hurt, he's probably still out there. But these three guys have really been so good since he's been gone. I don't think there's a spot for him.
Yeah, I'll disagree with Ben to this. I think Nordstrom's been one of their key players in this final run.
Yeah,
I mean he's been physical. He's been hard. The way that fourth line. They're getting more ice time than even the second line, the third line, for a reason, because they get the forecheck going, they get the Blues hemmed in their own end, they get that defense turned back to the center ice. They're doing exactly the way the Bruins want to play this thing. Nordstrom's been a huge part of it.
Well, Nordstrom and Corrali, too. I don't know how many power plays the Blues are going to get tonight, but if they get any, those guys are going to be on the ice for a lot of it. Right, and they've been doing such a great job. What do the Blues have, one power play goal in the whole series? Like they're better off just keeping it 5-on-5. It's sort of like the 2011 Bruins. But part of that has been how good the penalty kill has been, including those guys.
Texter says, I'm a landscaper. I listen to you guys all day and smoke weed all day. Well, you know,
there
as long as you're not driving from job to job, sir.
Next thing you know, it's going to be 8:30. The drop of the puck.
Hey, here we go. Through
it. Yeah, why not?
Steve's in Framingham. Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Steve, we're great.
This is a great night, huh? Coming up.
I hope.
I think it's a lock. I hate to say that, but I think it's a two-goal game by the Bruins. Dale, I want to go back just real quick. In the end of the season, Tampa Bay came into town, and they were hot, flying high, and Cassidy made a brilliant move in that game, which I think people kind of don't give him credit for, like you would give Belichick credit for certain players being put in certain positions. But he started the fourth line in that game, and they dominated that game. They owned Tampa Bay that night. He's carried the same philosophy through the home games in every series thus far. I think a big X factor is going to be that in itself, the line matchups. But also, I think Charlie McAvoy is going to probably be the X factor on defense. I agree, if Brisbane is healthy, he should definitely play. Connor Clifton has been coming along real well, but the one fault I see in his game is his puck decision in the defensive end, where I think Brisbane is going to be more decisive. And if St. Louis makes the mistake of running Grizzlick or Chara, that's exactly what you want to happen in a high-stakes game, is to take the other team out of their game with a single out a player. One of two things is going to happen. They're either going to get a power play, the Bruins get a power play, or they're going to force the forwards of St. Louis to take themselves out of plays. When you single a certain player or multiple players on different lines, you take your offensive flow, if it's an offensive forecheck, out of the game. So I think, you know, if Brisbane is healthy, I think that is a huge factor on the defensive front for the Bruins.
You bring up a great point concerning Grizzlick and concerning the Bruins against the Blues. What Bruce Cassidy has evidently decided here, starting, well, even before this, but with the Game 6 decision to put Kuhlman in instead of Backes, at that point what he's saying is, look, we're not going to out-physical them. We're not going to go out and pound with them. What we are going to do, what we can do, is out-finesse them. We've got better skill. We've got better speed. And they used it in Game 6. Kuhlman helped them do that. It's a huge factor for Grizzlick tonight. No disrespect meant to Connor Clifton, who skates really well, you know, in his own right. But that left side of the Bruins' defense, when it's Zdeno Chara, Torrey Krug, and Matt Grizzlick, they've got
much better.
Those Krug and Grizzlick especially have that ability to do the one-man breakouts, and you know they can skate. And St. Louis can't keep up with them.
No, it's to me the X factor of if he takes a hit to the head, is he good to go? And
that's my only concern.
That's it, because he's definitely one of your six best defensemen. He's one of your five best. Some nights he's one of your three best defensemen out there. So you want him. You're an overall better team with him. Clifton's definitely, like, to the caller's point, been kind of up and down. Like, there's definitely moments where you can kind of highlight and say, look at this guy, he's ready. And then there are other times where he looks overmatched. I think he's played as many regular season games as playoff games or whatever, or close to it, right? Like, so doesn't have a ton of experience. Grizzlick has much more, but just afraid of the head injury.
Brandon's in Rhode Island. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's going on?
So my question out here is that whole entire secretive talk between Bergeron and the team. What is the chance of that secret talk that nobody's saying anything about? Is that he's possibly going to be retiring.
Oh, that's a Keith Spiracy for the ages. So he's saying, hey, guys, you better win this because I'm done after this?
I would suggest that one may be wrong.
I think he's back next year.
I don't think he's retiring.
I understand all that, though, the way they were struggling, though, and the way we are at the first Game 7 being held in Boston.
Yeah, he pulled the retirement card on him.
But I'm just saying, though, and then the way they stepped it up in the last game after that talk.
Yeah, not for me.
It reminds me of the Poppy thing. When David Poppy retired, they all stepped up and did their thing when he retired.
David Ortiz had a year-long retirement tour.
You knew David Poppy was retiring.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go out on a limb here. Look, if you had said Zdeno Chara, I would have disagreed with you, but I would have sort of understood that. You know, he's 42 years old. He's got a broken jaw, you know, maybe. But he's coming back, too. No, Patrice Bergeron's not retiring if they win tonight.
No, I don't think any of them.
He might have told them that just to get them to play harder.
Chara's the one that if you want to bring that up, but even he, I think, is coming back.
Yes,
I know he signed a deal, but it doesn't mean you can't retire. I think they're all back. You got a couple of guys that are free agents, obviously, but I don't think there's anybody on this team that's not playing next year somewhere in the league.
Somewhere. Right. There will be some who won't be here,
yeah,
obviously.
Marcus Johansson's going to be gone.
You can't keep the whole crew together. Your core will be together here going forward. But, I don't think anybody's retiring after this game from the Bruins' perspective. Paul's in Braintree. Hey, Paul.
Hey, gentlemen. How are you today?
What's going
good.
On?
Good.
I'm a little concerned. I think the Bruins win tonight, but is their inconsistency bothering anybody else? I mean, you look at game one, they got outplayed in the first period, came back in the third. Game two, they got outplayed. Game three, they looked like world beaters. And then game four, they were going for the motion. Even the other night, the first and second period, they played well, but it wasn't until the third where they really got it going. So I'm a little worried about their inconsistency. Sometimes they go out there and look like nobody in the world can beat them. And then the next period, they go out and they can't get the puck out of the blue zone. So I'm a little concerned.
I understand. The series is tied at three. Right. Many people didn't think that it was going to go this long. I had the Bruins in five. I think Rich had them in four.
Yeah, I
some
I
people
wrong.
Had them in six. The fact that it's in a seventh game indicates that St. Louis has, probably performed better than you expected. Now, I think we have overstated a little bit. Two of the three wins came when the Bruins were down to five defensemen. Mm-hmm. And the guys who were left back on the blue line were gassed by the time you got to the end of the game.
And one of them went to overtime. Now, they didn't play well. That was one of those games. The Bruins didn't. That was one of those games.
When the Bruins have played their game, it's not even close.
So two of the losses the Bruins had specifically, there were chances late third period they could have stole it. And you would have felt like, hey, the Blues were better that night, but you were right there. You could have won the game. Whereas the games that the Bruins won, you didn't really feel like, oh, if one thing happened, the Blues would have won. I mean, the thing was over last game. I know it was 1-0 going into the third period, but once the Bruins started to pile on the goals and Tuukka Rask was just so good, they've really dominated their wins compared to St. Louis.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We will give you an opportunity to qualify to win tickets to be at tonight's Game 7 at the Garden. That's coming up in a few minutes. Andrew Raycroft will join us in studio at the top of the hour. He'll be with us for an hour to help break down tonight's game as well, and specifically talk goaltending. But before we get to all of that...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We have to trend.
I believe we'll be the 50-win team that we saw all year. We're not going to allow one game to define us.
The boy scores! They score! Save by Rask! Score! Carlo and Bergeron punctuates it. The Bruins make the Stanley Cup road. Go over the spoke B.
Backhanded one, covered by Tuukka Rask. The Boston Bruins have gotten to the Eastern Conference Final for the first time since 2013. Score! Tipped by Pastrnak.
It's always these three guys that step up in a big way.
Pastrnak to Bergeron. He scores!
You get to the end of the toothpaste, you can always squeeze a little bit more.
Score! Bergeron!
Is there anything left for this team to squeeze?
The Bruins have taken the Hurricanes' will to win.
After you have a poop sandwich, a little toothpaste goes a long way.
Oh, that's...
Tuukka Rask has a shutout. 4-0 the sweep by his team.
I want to say mirrored images, but pretty darn close. I look at the back end for both of these teams to be the difference in this series.
He scores!
He's hurt.
Oh, it went off his own stick, and it came up, and it got him right in the face.
On the bench, in his 21st season, from Tennessee, Slovakia, number 33, Zdeno Chara!
And you can bring out the Zamboni. The St. Louis Blues have won game five.
And the Bruins have forced a game seven.
Please drop the puck now.
9 hours, Dale. We got 9 hours. The countdown continues. We are sneaking up on Game 7.
Sneaking
up. We can watch all of the Lords of the Rings movies between now and the start of the game.
Actually, other than,
Not the Hobbit part, but the original trilogy. You could watch all three of them right now. You got to start right now, though. Back to back to back.
You'd actually want to do that?
I don't.
You could.
Shyam, I'm telling you what you could do. People are trying to fill the next 9 hours of their lives until game
and
seven.
And maybe they don't want to drink it away. Well,
that's
maybe
right.
They do.
No, you don't, because you do want to be able to remember all of this. I've always thought, like, when people go to Super Bowl parties and they get so drunk and then they don't remember the game, like, what are you doing? It's a fine line.
Yeah, if it's buzzed. A Super Bowl party that and your team's not involved,
yeah,
say,
go
oh,
nuts.
What the hell?
Go nuts.
But your team's
no,
playing tonight.
Yeah, you gotta. It's a fine line. Only
see,
a master can do it.
Not to get ahead of ourselves.
Okay,
but to get ahead of ourselves.
Key long form drinking.
Good foreshadowing.
Thank you. Yeah. The key to long form drinking is to make sure you're just eating throughout the day. Get the grill going.
Figures
some burgers,
the Shyam would say that.
Some yeah. Hot dogs. You're
just
good to
keep
go.
Eating.
Maybe some potatoes.
You're not wrong though. You're not
protein. Protein's a big way to.
Shyam probably has a grill in the back parking lot.
Oh, that'd be great. We should tailgate here. It's a good tailgating parking lot. You getting excited for the Keys? They're back. Keys have been gone for a while.
Big return to in this program.
Yeah.
The Keys for winning game seven tonight. Just
2 hours from now. 2 hours from now. And then that'll be exactly 7 hours from game time. You're doing the math here. We're all around it, though. We are close. There's a buzz. Don't you feel a buzz in the city? A buzz in the air?
Yes.
When you were on the highway today? For 2 hours.
it was a bit of a slog.
But you do feel it. Like, this is, everybody is just, cannot wait for this. And the 2 days in between, that's long. You're trying to, all right, let's just get to the game. And, you know, they really need the extra day to travel, whatever. But it's tonight. We're getting closer to it. Still feels like a little bit of ways away. But they are going to play tonight.
Like forever away.
It does.
Matt Grzelcyk will go into the lineup. Connor Clifton will come out.
Yeah.
Forwards will be the same as what you had in game six. So Carson Kuhlman stays in. David Backes will not play tonight. Chris Wagner. Sorry, Chris. Sorry, David.
I know.
They will not be playing tonight. I know Wagner has been killing himself trying to get himself ready to return to the lineup and desperately wanted to be able to return.
And that proves the depth of the team, too. When you're sitting here, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, and there's a couple of guys that you wish could be in the lineup, but there's no room for them. Like, that's sort of been a theme for them this whole time, is they can go with four lines, and they've had, you know, six solid defensemen. Even with injuries, they've been able to put guys out there. And so, unfortunately, a few of those guys are going to have to watch where they were obviously hoping to play.
617-779-7937. And again, by the way, Andrew Raycroft will join us in studio at the top of the hour. Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, guys. How are
you? Good. What's going on?
I'm really, really excited about tonight.
I know.
You know, I got a little feeling about something. I've heard a lot of people talk about how in Game 7 they take the whistles and put them down.
Uh-huh.
They're going to have a little problem because St. Louis is going to elevate their game. And by elevating their game, it means they're going to have to increase the level of violence that's out there. And what I think we're going to see happen, and we're going to see it happen early, I think you're going to see the officials make a statement early that there's only so much they're going to put up with. And I would love to see the Bruins get a five-minute power play, a major penalty, put two or three goals on that team to let them know, this is why you lost this series, because you can't play even with us by playing. But, you know, it's okay. Hockey's a tough game. Don't get me wrong. Mm. And there's nothing wrong with being tough. These guys are dirty. And I just hope and pray that the Bruins win tonight. And I just have a feeling that the officials are going to make some calls early to set the tone of the game to let these people know just how much they're willing to put up with.
You might be right. It would go against what I expect to happen.
I don't think we see a five-minute one.
They generally try to make sure. Now, in their attempt to make sure they aren't the deciding factor,
right,
they could end up being a deciding factor the other way.
Yeah.
You know, they let a five-minute major go because they don't want to be the ones to call it. I'd be surprised. I think St. Louis is going to go out there and just run everything in sight. Because, quite honestly, I think it's the only chance they have to win.
But I also hope that whatever they decide in the first period, just be consistent with that. And then both teams can kind of understand what's going on. Like, you know, if Chara throws somebody down, is that going to be a penalty or is it not? You know, if Brad Marchand sticks his stick at Binnington, is that a penalty or not? Like, let's just try to be consistent throughout the whole game.
I mean, the battle that Chara had at the side of the net that turned into an interference minor against Chara, it was like,
so you
gotta, really?
You got to decide, like, as long as you know what it is, because the Bruins, they can play tough. They can play physical, But you just want to make sure that it's consistent and it doesn't get to the point where maybe they are calling a lot of penalties and then it's kind of lopsided in favor of the Blues. So then they try to make it up a little bit and even things out a little bit for the Bruins. And just you don't want that to get away from them. Hopefully tomorrow at 10 o'clock or even all the way from 10 to 2 tomorrow, we don't even mention the officials. Like, that's the hope.
I mean, I really thought in the aftermath of Game 6...
Yeah, there was really
the greatest compliment I could pay to them was that I didn't really notice them.
That's the
I didn't
best.
Agree with every call. Like I said, the Chara penalty I thought was ridiculous.
But I don't think the Blue, because what you always do is you look to the team that lost and you say, how much of a beef do they have?
Right.
And I don't think that they didn't lose because the officials by any means. They got outplayed by the Bruins. Tuukka was fantastic, and that was the story of Game 6.
If the Blues play the game the way I expect them to tonight,
yeah.
If they're out there taking runs at people. They run Tuukka Rask. They take high head shots, which they've been doing those this whole series. They finished a lot of checks up around the head area. They've had two guys suspended for finishing checks up around the head area. Mm-hmm. If they play the way I expect, and the Bruins prevail anyway, you wonder what, you know, what's said in the handshake line, what isn't.
Oh, there's a chance it could get ugly. I don't know. But it doesn't seem like there's one villain for the Blues.
Oh, like, they've got several.
They have a bunch. They have a bunch
Barbashev,
of guys that kind of,
right, Perron.
That kind of all, well, Sundqvist even, if you want to look at that. I don't know if he's a, I don't think he's a dirty player necessarily, but that was a dirty hit. And so, yeah, they have a bunch of those guys. But that's one of those things that doesn't necessarily live up to the hype. Like, when there's bad blood, those guys do seem to, when the game is over, drop it right there and move on. Like, again, Milan Lucic being the one great exception that I remember recently.
I'm going to kill you!
I mean, they're like, oh, we don't normally do that in the line, Milan, if you could not do that. But I thought it was great. I don't think you're going to get that, though. I think unless there's another, like, over-the-top hit tonight,
well, if,
which there could be.
If some Blues player takes a running swing at Zdeno Chara's jaw.
Yeah, how do you shake that guy's hand afterwards? Why would you want to? Or if they cross-check to the head of Grizzlick. Because you know exactly what that's about.
Right.
So if you do that, I don't know how... Hey, good game, good series. Oh, go, best of luck. Have a good offseason. That's bogus.
Or some
that.
Guy just trucks Tuukka Rask.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that could easily happen. And then what, you just put on a smile and go through? I'm like, hey, there's got competition, you know, sportsmanship. No, please. You got to be pissed.
So Sean McIndoe, who writes for The Athletic, hockey writer for The Athletic, there's been a lot of struggles around here trying to name the Bruins top line. Joe Haggerty tried the perfection line.
I feel like that one's
I generally fight against it just because Joe Haggerty thought it
oh,
up.
Oh, come on, Dale.
So
that one I feel like people outside of have said, like Doc Emmerich said the perfection line
yeah.
on the air. And so once that's said, I feel like that's it, for better or worse.
So Sean McIndoe tweeted out, he said somebody posted this in the comments about the Bergeron line. I don't know if it's a thing, but I'm physically shaking with rage that I didn't come up with it. Somebody suggested that they should be the Ratatouille line.
What?
A Frenchman, a rat, and pasta. I mean, you got to admit, it's kind of catchy.
Yeah,
it's,
Ratatouille. Yep, not bad.
Probably.
Good feature film. You like the Ratatouille
the
line?
The Ratatouille line.
I like
line?
That.
Okay. A Frenchman, a rat,
a
and
rat.
Pasta.
Yeah, that's not terrible. It's not bad.
You're selling it like it's really bad, though.
I'm thinking about it. I'm not just going to jump
hard
in.
Out on that one.
You're out. Do you like the perfection line?
No.
Yeah, I don't like that either. Do you have one?
Give me a couple minutes.
Okay,
I'll come up with a great one.
Stinky!
Stinky. What, the Ratatouille? You don't like the Ratatouille line, Rossi? Or you do like the Ratatouille?
I personally like it.
Yeah.
I think it's a perfection line. I don't really like... They're not perfect.
They are not. They've actually been kind of up and down. More like the roller coaster line in the...
Ooh!
You like that one? Add that. The corkscrew! Shout out to Canopy Lake.
A Twitter follower, by the way, just in the interest of, you know, making sure you know all the information you need.
I'm trying to gather as much as I can.
Says the full trilogy for Lord of the Rings is about 11 and a half hours.
Well, that's the uncut version.
I'm not doing all director's cut.
Well, I'm just saying.
Give me, it's like 3 hours a clip.
So he said, on the bright side, we're less than the trilogy away from puck drop.
Okay, all right, fine. I'll give it. Well, we certainly are now. We have passed that. We can't do that. We got to watch all the Star Warses, the original trilogy. Watch all those, no problem. Like 2.5.
Can't you just watch Miracle 3 times?
Yeah, you could.
Call it a day.
Well, like
the
eight
Mighty,
times.
The
That's
Mighty Ducks. The Mighty Ducks series. All three.
Skip the third one and you're good.
Yeah. You could.
Give that a whirl too.
Mm-hmm. Goon and Goon 2. A nice double feature.
Art.
Those are good movies.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Andrew Raycroft will join us here in studio from noon to 1 as we continue to talk about Stanley Cup Final Game 7. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Both teams have played incredible series, and Bruins showed us the other night that they're not done yet. They had a really strong game. They've been practicing, and hopefully Patrice Bergeron gives another pregame pep talk tonight in the locker room. But I don't know if they need that, but I think they're going to be ready to play tonight. So I want to congratulate the Boston Bruins and the Bruins organization for an incredible season. Regardless of what happens tonight after the game, they're certainly champions in our eyes, and they're a great hockey team. So congratulations to the Bruins.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
What? Let me go ahead and disagree with that last part.
What?
Regardless of what happens,
no,
they're champions
the
to us?
No.
What? Yeah, they're going to be. I don't even care what. I might not even watch tonight. They've already won. In my eyes, Dale,
well,
I never thought they would make it this far.
Regardless of what happens tonight after the game, they're certainly champions in our eyes. And
congratulations to the Boston Bruins, champions in our eyes. Please.
No, you want to buy a shirt?
No. I would love to. Do you got one? You got a deal on a shirt? Champions in our eyes? He kind of lost me there. He had some good hockey breakdown there.
Grabbing that Eastern Conference Finals champion swag after the game tonight.
I'm
going to
go knock down mailboxes and light fires.
Oh, no, don't.
Yeah,
that.
I might be upset. I might be that upset about it.
Come on.
They're all champions. That's him trying to be like, hey, everybody relax, because I know it's going to get real ugly around here if they lose.
That's what it sounds like.
He had a nice little hockey breakdown, though, leading up to it. Both teams played well.
Yeah.
Patrice Bergeron, he mentioned the pep talk there. He was talking about how they proved they're not done, and then he really kind of lost me with, no matter what happens, they're champions in our eyes.
There's nothing we can do if you buy a ticket and you pay crazy money for a ticket and you don't get into the game.
If you play crazy money for a ticket, don't you get into the game?
Isn't the ticket what gets you into the game?
He's warning people about like scalpers and fake
counterfeiters. Oh boy. Yep, that's going around. That is a scary, scary scene out there.
Well, and the claim is that this is now the most expensive ticket in the history of Boston sports.
Imagine if you spent that much on a fake ticket.
Oh, my God. If you have dropped $40,000 and then they stopped you at the door and said, sorry, sir.
That's something that we can't help you with. So we're asking people to kind of, you know, go to a dealer if you're going to buy tickets.
Sounds like you're SOL, as they say.
That's the word.
If you do it that way.
Frank,
so good luck.
Frank Ciravalli, who is the senior hockey reporter for TSN, brought an interesting little tidbit to the table this morning. I did not know this.
Okay.
If the Bruins win the cup tonight, Zdeno Chara gets a $250,000 bonus.
Ooh,
now,
drinks on Zdeno.
I can promise you it is the last thing on his mind at this
He's
point.
He's like, come on, guys, what if he uses that?
Come on, guys.
Come on,
I got $250,000 riding on this.
I got
this.
A quarter mil if you guys can show up tonight and get a win for me.
First round's on me.
Yeah, it should
you
be.
Win.
It should be.
No, I don't think.
No, it's probably lower on his list.
Probably not real high on his list, but I didn't realize that.
That's an exciting little thing.
Hard cash riding on this thing tonight.
Why not? And I did think he looked a lot better, Chara did, in game 6 than in game 5. So you
and
can feel
sounded
good.
A lot better yesterday than he did Saturday.
Well, you know what's funny? When he first broke his jaw, one of the first things I thought of was how memorable that moment was of him in 11 holding the cup above his head and going like, rah! And I'm like, how is he going to be able to
do that now? He's not going to be able to do that.
Oh, he's going to re-break his jaw trying to scream with the cup. He won't be able to do that. It'll be like kind of muffled.
Marshan, come here and yell for me.
Yeah, come on. Go give it a scream. That'll still be a cool moment, though, nonetheless.
I'd be fine.
Which I think will happen, although I am not as confident as I would like to
be. I am quietly confident.
Oh, I don't know if you are. Every time I've asked you if you're confident, you pause.
I do.
The long pause. If you're confident, you don't need to pause. Because you're like, are you confident? Yes. That's when you know someone's confident. Let's try this. Shime, are you confident in tonight's game?
100%.
Look at that.
Well, look at him.
Rossi, if you can get out of your nightgown for a second and answer this. Are you confident in tonight?
Nervous as hell. Nope, not confident.
I can tell. I can tell by the way you're moping around the hallways here.
I can tell by his pasty white legs shaking underneath his nightgown there.
He looks good, though. Well, can't see his arm. I haven't seen his hands all day, which is a little intimidating.
He's hit a couple of buttons rather incorrectly because he can't actually touch the buttons with his fingers.
He went to Hogwarts to get his Bruins sweater. That's nice. But anyway, so yeah, see, there's mixed emotions here on the program. But Shime is, who's our better, too. He's got ice water in his veins. He's all in on
he
this.
He does not care a bit. He only cares about his money.
Now, Shime, are you liking the win by a goal and a half? Because then, you know, or you win by two, obviously, but because so I get more money.
Yeah, I like the win by two.
Okay. That is a good idea.
Yeah, I think you should bet on that.
The line keeps moving, by the way.
Is that right in favor of?
The Blues. The Bruins are currently minus 180 now.
Oh, so all the money's coming in on the Bruins.
On the Bruins.
Right? Interesting. Because yesterday at this time, it was minus 160.
And now, I heard Mutt claim this morning it had gone to 150, but
I think Mutt's
it's moving the opposite direction.
Yeah, it's going the other way.
I think our guy's looking at the wrong line there.
The bettors are laying it in on the Bruins, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And then do you have Conn Smythe odds?
It might have been just one shine bet, though, that swayed that thing.
It could have been.
Easily could have been. I'm a big gambler.
Yeah.
These big bets pouring in. They're like, oh, Shine must know something. That's what they figure. They go, he's so close to the team. He can talk to Fourier on a regular basis. That's going to be a little concerning.
Andrew Raycroft's going to join us here in studio. We'll talk about the goaltending play in this series and the Conn Smythe Award and all of that stuff. 617-779-7937, Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.